You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. And it starts right now.
Yeah, as we go through all these different phases or marriages within our marriage, you know, I think that we've hit the edge of what we were ready for, you know, whether it was just our honeymoon. Our honeymoon was like, get me off this houseboat.
Yeah.
We're trapped out in the middle of this water alone. We got to get around some people.
Yeah.
To having kids, to going to school and working so hard, to having teenagers, to having adult children. Mm-hmm. Throw some financial things in there, shake real hard, and you find new edges of what you've grown to. And then recently, you know, we got a diagnosis of breast cancer, and mm-hmm. here we go, shake real hard.
Yeah, another level.
A whole nother thing that nobody wants to ever go through these mm-hmm. things, but. It's shocking.
Yeah, a little over a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so much fear involved. And, you know, even through that season, we struggled. We did really good for most of it, but we struggled with how do we process a problem differently. Like, I was really private about it. I didn't want to talk about it to people, and you were telling people because you needed a connection out there, and I just wasn't ready, so we would get in arguments about that, which is silly, but even going through a health crisis like that, you have to find each other in it, and some other things seem to shrink pretty hard. You know, some other issues or problems when you have health issues, you stop talking about the little things.
Yeah.
And focus on the one. But there was, you know, there was hard, beautiful moments in there as well, you know. I wasn't planning on crying, but I do have a tissue. Mm. I remember being in pain and just like, oh, there's nothing you could do to help me.
Mm-hmm.
And moments of just in the dark of the night, you know, that 2 a.m. And you would just sit next to me and cry. And we would just both cry.
Mm-hmm. I think maybe the classification of all these phases or the end of one and the entrance of the next one mm-hmm. is what are you going to do with how powerless you felt? Like, I remember when I felt like our teenagers were just out of control, mm-hmm. you know, for our life, you know, and they're like just doing this thing. And I just felt so powerless.
Yeah.
Like, what am I going to do with this? Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I started answering that question that I grew into a new space of life and relationship. And I think this really did it most recently. You know, what's fresh on my mind right now? I'm not sure what's coming next, but I'm hoping nothing. It was so powerless. I just felt so incredibly powerless mm-hmm. for so long. It yeah. just felt excruciating to stay in that spot where I cannot change this. I cannot help you. I mm-hmm. cannot stop this. And then in all of that, mm-hmm. finding I'm going to be a different guy in here than I was for 38 years. I'm going to be a different guy in year 39 mm-hmm. because of a new answer to what am I going to do in this powerlessness? And what I'm going to do is I'm going to die more. I'm going to serve more. I'm going to connect better. I'm going to do what I can to protect what's really most important right here.
Yeah. I think even through that season, using humor was helpful too. You know, you're joking about things that shouldn't be funny, but they're funny right now. You know, there's even with old age, you know, your bodies change and your physical relationship changes. But this was like another level of body change, you know, just all, yeah. All of that had to be addressed. And I think because we had the years of experience talking through things or whatever, then when we had to talk through this really hard thing, that we, you know, were gentle and kind about whatever instead of mm-hmm. an opinion we had that was more important than what we were going through, you know.
I remember a couple things early on, you know, just feeling, I felt really selfish early on, like thinking, oh my gosh, this is going to dramatically impact our life. This is what is coming our, you know, down the pipe here. Yeah. This feels like, you know, my whole life is going to be changed with what's happening. And I could feel myself getting anxious and like I'm at another limit. Like, I don't know how to do this much, this different, this long. Like, I don't know how to do that. And I remember just feeling the Lord say, it's her birthday. And this was February. It was like 6 months from your birthday. And I was trying to figure out, it's your birthday. And I realized, oh my gosh, you know, like every year on her birthday, we just do whatever she wants. We just do whatever she wants. It's her birthday. Okay. It's her birthday. All right. Well, she did that thing that really drives you crazy. It's her birthday. I'm not going to deal with it today. We're not dealing with it today. It's not going to, nothing, you know, there's no trouble on her birthday.
Yeah.
And that adjustment helped me day one, which was, okay, it's her birthday. And that's just how we're going through this is, it's her birthday. And then, you know, when you, after your last surgery and you were getting stronger and it was before we went to Hope for Cancer, but it was somewhere in there, I remember kind of letting off on the pedal a little bit. Like, you know, it's the day after her birthday now, okay? You know, this is coming up. And I thought, nope, you know what? It's her birthday. Every day is her birthday.
Yeah. I mean, not every marriage has to go through a big, crazy health crisis, but every marriage faces problems and how you're going to handle them and in the mature love mode, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So important. That's why it's so important to keep growing and changing with your marriage. I mean, I don't recognize us. You know, I think I posted something on Facebook and one of our old high school friends says, I don't even recognize you two as who you were in high school. I mean, of course not. But I just mean, we have changed.
We are 60-something now. Yeah. High school 61. Seems like a long way away.
Yes. But still, it's just, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of obstacles we could have jumped ship, you know.
Yeah. We do have the unique scenario of living with our daughter and son-in-law and grandchildren, and now we get to watch our children become young adults. Like,
yeah.
Delaney's turning 18 in a little while, yeah. And she's going to go.
Days.
Yeah, she's going to go out and see the world. And it's hard to believe that Brittany was getting married about this age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
which is shocking, Britt and Ben.
I'll bet it should. Yeah, it shocks just about everybody.
She was telling Brittany and I were talking this morning, and I'm just laughing like, yeah, we were right there. I mean, Delaney's not getting married yet.
Yeah.
But just the fact that she's going to be an adult.
I know. So we've been through all that, and I think it's just the same thing over and over and over. We just find new ways to be humble, to be honest, to prioritize the connection, and rinse and repeat.
Yeah.
Feels like it. I get the opportunity to watch a bunch of our new Kylo University students do this, you know, where we've delved into a community of folks that are coming to us with life challenges and mm-hmm. hitting that powerless wall, like, what do I do now? And so many of them are coming at us with different scenarios and different conditions on the other side of that wall. Like some of them did a great job, and some of them wished they would have done a great job. Mm-hmm. But we're having such a great time building this environment where people get to learn about how to love well, how to be loved well by our Father.
Yeah.
How to then become an environment of nutritious responses to then, you know, serve others really well.
Yeah.
And so that's coming up at the end of the summer, Kylo University. Mm-hmm. KyloUniversity.com. You can go check it out if you're listening. If you're just hearing this for the first time, go there. Yeah. But it's been, we did a round earlier this year, and the testimonies are just wonderful.
That.
Just wonderful.
Yeah.
And it's,
you know, when you grow yourself, it affects every other area of your life. So
yeah, totally.
If you're really working on yourself personally and your relationship with the Lord and with others, but the Kylo University really pulls all of that together. Is I'm working on me, but I'm learning so much that it's spilling over into all the other areas and all the other relationships in my life. It's a pretty small investment for a big, huge jump in growth.
Yeah, it's the the water that raises in the harbor raises all the boats. You know, so everybody around you gets nourished by the success of things that you're bringing home.
Yeah, absolutely.
So good. All right. Well, we're going to head to some questions next.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Well, we're back and we're going to answer some questions. The first question that we have comes to us from Bernie.
Hey, Danny and Brittany. I've been loving the Kylo show. My husband and I have been learning about the love languages. I am definitely an acts of service and he's a words of affirmation. I've noticed that he is doing so much to serve me and heaps around the house. He's going to extreme lengths to show me how much he loves me and the things that he's done. But now it's getting to the point where he's doing so much that it actually feels more like manipulation than love to get me to compliment him on everything that he's doing. If I don't mention that I've noticed each individual thing, little comments are being thrown my way. And it's starting to result into me becoming more afraid to speak up and say things, and I'm shutting down. It feels like we're actually now in a battle of wills rather than love. How do we return to love flowing back and forth and move away from trying to make the other person do what we want?
Well, Bernie, Danny is not here, but good thing for you. We've got another high words of affirmation guy and
acts of service girl.
Uh-huh.
So. I just want to pause first and say she said heaps as an Aussie.
Yes.
I just so appreciate the Aussie coming out. It's good for me. So, Bernie, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Back to the question.
My first thought is, you know, it does sound like we've strayed away from the hardest to serve. Mm-hmm. And my guess is that maybe he's pursuing this because he doesn't feel like he's getting it. And so it's just becoming this thing to get what he wants, which is, you know, we're both guilty of this mm-hmm. in different ways. I think it probably the big one for me is the touch from you. Is, you know, I want to cuddle with you at night. And I go, I don't believe you at all.
you don't want to cuddle.
You don't ever want to just cuddle. And it's normally like, I know when that needs there, you know, because I'm not a touch loving, not a words person. So I know when I've depleted the well, because I'm the one putting the water in there.
I haven't visited in a while.
And so when you say you want to cuddle when I know you're depleted, I'm like, that's not, you're just hoping for something. But we've talked about this before. Like, I'm like, just tell me straight out that you want to have sex with me, which is, again, high D. I want it blunt. I want it straightforward. I want it honest. So that's what we had to learn. It's a little different than the words piece and the acts of service piece. But I think that it's a similar cycle in that you wanted something from me, but you weren't asking me directly what you wanted. And so I started to feel manipulated, which I really hated, which didn't work out in your favor either in our season. But I think probably my first thought, which I would love to hear yours, is you probably need to be honest. Mm-hmm. Like if you do something for me and I don't tell you thank you or praise you, I'd rather you not do it for me, because it starts to feel like you're manipulating me to get what you want, which is really yucky. And I want you to feel like I'm doing a good job of meeting your needs. So if I'm not doing that, that's a different conversation I need you to have with me. Because I want to meet your need. I want to serve you in this way. And if you don't feel that from me, man, I got to work on that. But this dynamic will never feel fun for me.
Yep. I remember answering this question in Mexico one time. Yep. A few years back, we were there and we did some little marriage seminar.
Yep, yep.
After church on Sunday morning mm-hmm. with a translator. It was so fun. And even in Mexico and Australia, they're asking the same questions. But
it's an international question.
But we had this, it's universal. I had this response, which was essentially, if you're only doing it for the praise or the affirmation, is that really love? Mm-hmm. And it's a hard check because there is this exchange that happens. You know, in the past when I've done this, I get what I need, mm-hmm. but I'm not actually telling you the truth, like you're talking about. So I think just paying attention to, you know, what is my motivation, and how I actually share what I'm needing, mm-hmm. because I think the other piece here as well, being married to an acts of service person, I could do 10 different things. But the thing you were needing that day from me mm-hmm. or the target that was going to hit that and really communicate the act of service that you were looking for wasn't in this 10.
Yeah.
And so that's great that you cleaned everything and you packed up everything and all that. Did you see this thing over here? Which is really painful to hear for a words person to go, look, everything I did for you. Look at all the things I did for you.
Yeah.
Or you can go, oh, I missed it. Mm-hmm. I didn't actually ask you or lean in to figure out what you're needing today. Mm-hmm. I just hoped I could perform my way into get my need met mm-hmm. rather than communicating. So,
and we did that a lot mm-hmm. where, you know, especially younger years, there's a mountain of things to be done, especially with three kids at home.
Yep.
And, you know, maybe what I needed was to be able to park the car in the garage, but your tools were out or something like that and you're working on something, but you couldn't get to it till the next weekend and it's, you know, Tuesday. And I'm thinking about the rain's coming. I got to go grocery shopping. I'm loading kids in and out, but not in the garage. So yes, the dishes are piled sky high. Yes, the laundry needs to be done and the toilet's clogged again. And, you know, I didn't take anything out for dinner. So those all are happening and that's what you can see. Mm-hmm. But the thing that I'm most concerned about is I can't park in the garage. Yeah. But because you didn't ask, you don't get all the praise that you wanted. And I'm grateful for that. But it also kind of feels like, well, isn't that also your mess too? The dishes and maybe not the toilet. I don't know who did that. Probably Delaney when she was little. You know, and dinner. You know, so that's the hard part with an acts of service person is that there are some things that feel like this is just our partnership. Mm-hmm. I have a higher level of needs to get done. Like I love the bed made. You don't have the need at all for mm-hmm. the bed made, but you do it because I love it. And that's just one of those things. But, you know, that's these are the pieces of that acts of service that you were, I love how you listed that out. This is why communicating and telling the truth and then also putting on display, you know, Bernie, you're asking this question, but it's really your husband that needs to figure out what he's going to do. But you're going to have to be willing to have the conversation of, I love you. This isn't feeling like love. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what you're needing from me because I now feel obligated to praise you when I feel like you're not, the heart towards me isn't love and affection or serving. It's to get something from me. So clearly we're missing it.
Yeah.
And those conversations when you're newly married feel really hard because they feel like it's dangerous territory.
Yeah.
You're like stepping on toes, like, ooh, don't know how to do this. Or, you know, it's maybe there's just some other factors going on. But if I give you any encouragement, it's worth leaning in, having the harder conversation and keeping the truth on the table loud.
Yeah.
It's only going to benefit you. And then keep the goal connection loud.
Yeah, because you both feel disingenuous right now.
Mm-hmm.
You both feel like I'm just doing this to check something off.
Yeah.
So paying attention to that as well, I think, is, you know, Bernie, my encouragement to you would be keep looking for opportunities to serve your husband.
Mm-hmm.
Keep laying your life down and doing a good job there while communicating the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And then look for ways to give some feedback so that becomes his goal too.
Yeah.
It's his laying his life down regardless of what you do.
Yeah.
Because two people doing that creates a beautiful covenant.
So much better.
Good. All right, Bernie, you guys talking.
Great question. All right, this one does come to us from Instagram. So again, if you like to send us a Kylo question, great place to do that is Instagram. DM me. Just make sure you spell my name right. Otherwise, you won't find it. Brittany does not have an A. All right. Melinda asks us, how do we communicate through disagreement when our communication styles and habits are so different? Ben, we would have no experience with this whatsoever because we are the same human.
Said no married couple ever.
That was sarcasm for you.
Yeah. Yeah. How do we communicate through disagreement? I
we think, disagree. So that happens.
Well, that has happened before, that one time.
Yeah. Whatever.
We disagree often because we are so different.
Yeah.
I think the biggest piece here for me is we have to learn to listen. And not listen for myself, like, okay, I'm listening to hear how I would say it. I'm listening to what you're needing, what you're feeling, what you're experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
So I can respond. Because if I'm waiting for you to do it the way I would, I'm just going to live frustrated. And listening, you know, we talk about this all the time, but it's, I think we talk about it all the time because it's such a pivotal, important piece of healthy relationships. Because... Mm-hmm. Most of us don't listen very well because I'm scared, because I'm hurt, because I'm different. You know, there's just different reasons why that happens. So I think it might sound like a simple answer, but I would start with just learn to listen really well while you're understanding your spouse. I think that's the other piece here is the thing that the journey we went on is learning to understand ourselves and then learning to understand each other. And the deeper that got, the more grace we had for each other.
I want to give a quick shout out to today's sponsor, Maisie. Maisie is a website builder whose mission is to saturate the internet with the presence of God. After hearing that, we knew we had to make the switch from our old website platform, and we absolutely love our new site. Maisie is hosting a free masterclass on October 26th called 3 Simple Steps to Creating Online Revenue. It's everything you need to transform your passions into profit online. Interested? Click the link in our show notes or visit lovingonpurpose.com/masterclass. That's lovingonpurpose.com/masterclass.
Just as you're talking, I'm sitting here thinking about the discussion that Jesus had with his disciples numerous times. They'd come to him and say, all right, Jesus, let us know who's the greatest. If we need to, we can go to the side and talk, and you can tell me it's me.
Mm-hmm.
But who's the greatest? They have this discussion over and over again. And every time he says that the one who's the greatest is the one who serves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just, I mean, that scripture you just read, everything you're saying here, it just alludes to, man, this is the opportunity to really begin to lead in your home, Mm-hmm. And the way you do that is to lay your life down.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that statement you just said a minute ago, that I've said numerous times myself, and it's such a mirror in my face, is the men are meant to carry the standard of love in the home, or, mm-hmm. or set the standard for love in the home.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun to say. It's kind of catchy.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at it, you're like, this requires something from me.
Mm-hmm.
There's things in me that have to die so I can show up with that strength that mm-hmm. that statement requires.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times the guy is kind of sitting around waiting to be loved.
Yes.
You're like, exactly. Well, if you do a good job loving me, then I'll have something to give back to you. Yeah. Like, no, that isn't how this works at all, because she's not your source. She's your target.
Yeah.
And as long as you carry that philosophy in your marriage, then it'll chase you back to God again and again and again, which is really your source.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I've had that conversation with so many people, and, mm-hmm. and men especially.
Mm-hmm.
It's the, hey, I'm happy to meet her needs or lay my life down, so to say, as soon as she does that thing that I'm needing.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's not love. So yeah. That's not the example Jesus described in Ephesians.
Yeah. Yeah, that's transactional.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you pay me, then I'll serve you.
Yeah.
Like, no, that's not actually how this works. You've been called to fuel her, yeah. You know, in many ways. Your life fuels her. This relationship, masculine and feminine, is really, some people that want to call it equal. It's not equal. Men will never have babies. I don't care whatever you talk about that whole thing. But you are a man, and your design is really to complement the woman, and her design is really meant to complement the man. So this complementarism, synergy, going back and forth, is to bring out the fullness of both of you together. That's the whole human being, is this interaction of men being fully men. And what it does is it engages women into this place where they can be fully themselves.
Yeah.
And that really is the ideal of marriage, is creating that space, yeah. You know, creating this flourishing space where we are greater than the sum of our parts. So this is, you know, 1 + 1 = 3
mm-hmm.
kind of a deal. You know, the Bible says 1 can put 1,000 to flight, 2 can put 10,000 to flight. There's a multiplier on that space. If you create it, if you don't create it, then 1 + 1 = 0.5. You know, you've divided yourself because you fail to recognize the roles.
Yeah.
And the roles literally light each other up, energize them, and open things up that you didn't even know was there.
Yeah. I think even from my own story, just with Brittany, as we've gone now, almost 20-year journey and working this thing out, winning or learning,
mm-hmm.
I think when I'm having a hard time, when my insecurities are winning and I'm not doing well there, mm-hmm. she feels like she has to actually come in and take over my role.
Because
mm-hmm. there's things that I'm not bringing to the table. So she just kind of tries to fill in the gaps, which is not fair to her.
No.
And it's not bringing strength to our family. So that feels like a common experience I hear about as well.
Mm-hmm.
Which reminds me of a conversation we had with a young man a while ago. He was getting ready to get married. And he asked us to sit down and have a chat with him, bring our strength or learning to him. But you had this phrase that I would love for you to describe for a minute here, that we captured the kind of the essence of his role as a husband, and he's just starting out. So a sexy butler.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember that?
I do. Yeah, we were sitting around the campfire with a group of guys that kind of the groomsmen
yep.
of the wedding the next day, and the groom Brian, mm-hmm. he says, "You got any advice?" And I thought for a minute, do I have any advice for a man who's about to enter the journey of marriage and may or may not remember a word I say because this is, you know, there's a lot coming at him in the next little while. And I just thought, I got to thinking about, you know, how much fun they're going to have in their sex life and how much, you know, how distracting that is for however long, you know, and And I thought, you know, he's going to get really caught up in that, but I don't want him to miss the fact that he really is trying to win this woman's heart.
Yeah.
And so I just started telling a story, and I just started talking about how, you know, you're going to be like a couple bunny rabbits, you know, bouncing around from room to room for however long that lasts. And then you're going to get down to what it takes to win her heart, and that really is convince her that you are going to add your strength to create this space between you so that she can be fully woman. Mm-hmm. She doesn't have to be the man. She doesn't have to be the protector or the provider or in charge of the love. You're going to take that job. So I said, you know, your job for the next year is to serve her.
Yeah.
That you become this sexy butler that she believes cares as much or more about her than he does himself.
Yep.
And you will literally be giving up your life to serve her. And sure enough, you know, she gets pregnant right out of the gate, you know, and here we go, because it's all about babies and time and energy and sleeplessness and sacrifice. And he's done a great job.
He's done a great job.
He's done a really great job.
Yeah, and this one's stuck. He still talks about it. So just men, I think regardless.
Because he's such a beautiful human.
Oh, well, yeah,
he's just
true.
A handsome. If you put a bow tie on him with his shirt off, I mean, that's there he is right there.
If he's not at home serving his wife, he's in the gym.
Yeah.
Getting ready to serve his wife again.
I can hardly walk by him and not touch his pecs. they're just there.
Someone's got to send this to him. Oh, that's funny. So there we go.
Yeah.
Just become a sexy butler.
Sexy butler, man. So I think that, you know, the idea of protecting, providing, and connecting, you have to ask yourself, well, you mean like if somebody breaks in the house, you know, then I'm the one that gets up and I don't wake her up and say, have her go check?
I'm scared too.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just as scared as you are. I could die just as easily as you could. It's like really the paradigm that the man is built with, which is I'll go check.
Yeah.
I'll go see. I'll go kill the spider.
Yeah.
You know, totally. I'll go see what that noise is downstairs or outside or... You know, stay in the car. I'll go look. You know, that really is the masculine heart is, I will go find out. You stay here, and it's supposed to be like that. You know, it just sounds silly to say I woke my wife up to go downstairs to check out that noise.
Don't tell us about that. Just start different today. Yeah. It feels like there's even this when men are in touch with their true God-given masculinity, there's something about that that's like, yeah, I got out of the car. Yeah, I got out of the bed. I didn't want to.
Yeah.
I was tired.
I was scared.
I did it afraid.
Yeah.
I got those stories.
Yeah. And yeah. I think the idea of protection somehow goes with you're weak. Mm-hmm. So I protect you because you're weak.
Yeah.
And I think, well, that's really a misnomer in so many interpretations of I'm going to protect you. It's much more like I value you so much.
That's important.
I am going to protect you. I will throw myself out in front of whatever the threat is to communicate that value and to behave that value.
Yeah.
Like I want you to know that I would give my life for you.
Yep.
That's your value. Now, not very many guys are going to have to take a bullet for her or whatever. Therefore, it comes all day long.
Yeah.
Like this is Paul saying, you know, I lay my life down daily. Yeah. Well, I don't know how many times a day Paul, you know, he's doing that from prison and wherever else, but we're doing it all day, every day. As part of my commitment to communicate that I value you, I will protect you again and again from me.
Exactly. Yep.
I will protect you from the evil in this world, absolutely, and I will protect you from me.
Yep.
I mean, Ben and I definitely had a different way of parenting in the beginning. Well, I would say we still do, just because we're very different personalities. Mm-hmm. But we have the same goal and we have the same tools, which helps.
Yeah.
For me, I had to let go of control of trying to make it look the same way that I would do it.
Yeah.
Knowing that Ben wanted to do a really great job.
Yeah.
And I had to trust that he'd get there. I get there faster just because I have a different level of grace, which we've all talked about.
Tolerance.
Yes. That's a nicer word. But he's got so much grace. And so it just was different. But I also worked with ladies where the dad and their husband are scary and not fun.
Yeah.
That's different.
I think that's a good point. Different parenting styles doesn't mean one's right and one's wrong. Mm-hmm. One, they're just different. I remember when you went to Australia for the first time and met Ben's family. They're true Aussies.
I was 17.
You're 17. And you would call me and say, it's so weird. They do that. It's just so weird. It's so weird. It's so weird. I'm like, quit saying weird because it's just different. They're eating cold pumpkin, you know, whatever they're doing.
They're eating pumpkin.
Yeah.
Not in the pie?
All
what
that.
Is that? What are we
They're
doing?
They're eating
with
beans
this?
For breakfast, whatever it is. It's not weird. It's just different. Yeah. And I think that's, you know, what happens. And, and you do have, when you first get married and start having kids, you do have your normal that you brought into the marriage and styles that you learned, and you have to unlearn things. But this question kind of reminds me of when your kids start in school. And you, as they start old enough and they start changing classrooms to different teachers, that certain teachers have different control than another teacher. Mm-hmm. And it's the same child, by the way, going through all of those classes, but they're a different child in every classroom because that teacher has a style that is working to keep them all under control and their disrespect levels low. And then there's the teacher that just can't get a hold of their class, and it's all the kids' fault all the time. There's blame. So if you move that over to the parenting style, even children that have to go from parent to parent on weekends and all of that with custody and visitation, you get your kid is a different kid when they're with you than they are with the other parent. So the common denominator, you know, is the child, and then the ones that are changing is the one in authority. So, yeah, your husband or spouse can have a different parenting style. I'd be waiting for them to have a problem. You know, if you can't get the kids to do the things that you want them to do, and you see that, I mean, personally, that happened to me. Dad was going to school. I always have these way back stories, but you know, you kids were little, you're the oldest, and he all of a sudden, he didn't say a word to me. He didn't say, hey, I'm learning about this new parenting style.
That doesn't
and
sound
here's
like that
a
at
book.
All.
You know, he just started
silently testing out his theories that he's learning.
So he's
very dead.
using, you know, some of the tools of love and logic, like giving choices and all things like that. And I'd be like, what the heck is he doing over there? But you guys are responding. So it took about 6 months of that. And I had a sassafras attitude about it, of course, sometimes. But at first.
Of course, sometimes. That's my favorite part.
You can count on that in the early days that I was full of sass. I was full of disrespect, actually. But eventually I was like, what are you doing? You know, what are you learning? Learning new parenting styles often takes time and trial and error and, you know, giving choices and things like that. You give wrong choices, you know, you still didn't get anywhere with them because you gave them the wrong choices, you know.
Like,
so having grace for each other as you learn. But I would say waiting for that parent to have a problem and then come in and be a help to that problem.
Sometimes when they don't have a problem, but you're having a problem with the way they're treating the kids, you know, that's a, that becomes a marriage thing now. And that's when you get to say, hey, the way that you're talking with the kids, it's scary and it's hurtful. Mm-hmm. And I am having a really hard time feeling safe with what's going on. And that becomes a different conversation that you get to have, because all of a sudden it's now violating your relationship instead of your individual relationships with the child. And so being a paying attention to, like, where does this actually fit? Are you just trying to control? Are you just trying to do it your way? Or is it now a marital issue that you should talk about of, like, I'm feeling scared. The anger, the disrespect, you know, it is now, I wouldn't let anyone talk to our kids the way that you're talking to the kids. So what do you need? How can we help you? Because this is, and that's, again, that becomes a different conversation.
Let's partner together. Let's gang up on our kids, basically.
Is that what you guys did?
Yeah, let's gang up. We were outnumbered, so, you know, we had to get together. But I think saying, let's, if there's something that's happening, let's pull together, you and I, and figure out the strategy around this particular problem that our kid is having, whether it's homework or bedtime or whatever it is. And just really just pull together and shoot at the target, not at each other, you know.
That's good. Good stuff. All right. Our next question that we got was, should we give respect and submission to a man who hasn't earned it?
Again, the word submission and respect, I think most men, that is one of their triggers, is that disrespect is very, very painful. Mm-hmm. And but in that is, you know, should I give honor to my husband? Should I be disrespectful? You should ask the question to yourself, should I be disrespectful to someone who hasn't earned it? How do you feel about, should you be disrespectful to a teacher? Should I be disrespectful? Because you're going to have teenagers someday, and you're not always going to get the respect you feel like you deserve, for sure. No, the answer is yes, you should be respectful. Submission, I think, you know, in laying in there, we don't know her particular situation, but, you know, if you're not safe, then there's boundaries that are really, you know, hard. That, you know, I had a friend that actually, at some point in their marriage, she decided to never drive with him in a car again. They're married, raising kids, they're still married, but he scared her so much and would not adjust that they took separate cars everywhere they went. And that caused other problems. It's a money issue. It's a, you know, it's inconvenient, you know, that two parking spots at the restaurant, I mean, all of it. But she set a hard boundary because he just would not adjust at all to her communication. How she was communicating, I don't know.
We don't know the part, yeah.
There are times for, in cases, you know, sometimes, you know, men are communicating poorly, and so it feels like they earn disrespect, but I don't think you're ever going to win. You're never going to feel good about it the next day, bring in that level of disrespect.
Thanks for listening. Never miss an episode of The Kylo Show by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. Don't forget to submit your questions and testimonies to thekyloshow.com. The Kylo Show is produced by Ali Armading, co-produced by Ashley Beck and Anna Hill, and show promoter Christian Zamora. Don't forget, whole healthy families, gonna save the world.